Next up in our podcast series here from EMC World 2016, we have Manavir Das, who's Senior Vice President of the ASD, Advanced Software Division within Emerging Technologies Division. Thank you for joining us today.
Sure, it's my pleasure, Brian.
So there's a lot going on the software side when it comes to EMC, and yes. We've got a couple things we want to break down. First off, there was some news today about Viper Controller 3.0.
Yes.
Give us the updates there and what your customers should be excited about with Viper.
Yeah, so about a year ago, we started the journey of moving Viper to open source with a project called Copperhead. And since then, we've basically moved completely to a model where all of our development on Viper is done through the Copperhead install on GitHub, both by the community and us. And in fact, some of the biggest innovations that are in this new release of Viper come from there. In particular, the community built with us a southbound SDK by which it's possible for any vendor or developer to add support for any storage array underneath Viper. We've also put in with that a northbound SDK where Viper natively speaks the Cinder API off the top. And so if you have a storage device that is not compatible, you put it under Viper and you can provision it through Cinder off the top. We've also done a lot of work on support for file devices. I think when Viper started off, clearly we did a lot of work on the block systems, on the SAN, on complicated SAN environments. And we've done a lot more work on now on the file environment. So that's new in Viper 3.0. And then the third thing I would highlight is disaster recovery, DR. So Viper in itself now has a very nice DR model where you deploy it across multiple data centers and it takes care of itself. And also you can use it to orchestrate some pretty powerful DR scenarios for your storage.
So pushing Viper into the open source space, yes, clearly has been a major catalyst to, yes, to engaging with your customers and sort of taking that aura of it's only EMC, yes, away from the product, right?
Yes. And we've embraced that, Brian, because at every step, you know, for instance, Intel was a big champion of this effort from the beginning. Everything we've done with respect to how we've set up the community, giving it a different name, the way we've done the all the licensing models, everything. We've embraced the most open models that one could go with because we realized that there would be some baggage with this thing that, hey, it's come from EMC. And so we wanted to really prove the point that it's meant for the community. Yeah.
So as Viper's continued to mature, your customers that have been using it,
yes,
what has this uncovered for them or enabled for them over the past it's been a couple of years, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, our biggest customers, what they've really benefited from is a lot of savings in their storage estate. Because the reality was people had storage silos where they were typically over-provisioned in every storage silo because you never know when you're going to run out of storage. But by having it's the same concept as the cloud, you know, that when you can pool all your assets together and every provisioning request comes into the entire pool, you can be much more efficient about how you allocate storage. And so you can get away with having a lot less storage to satisfy the same needs.
Okay.
That's a real benefit.
Okay. The other big news that you've got coming out this year is around open source, your VxRack Neutrino product.
Yes, very excited about that.
I know that there's a lot of momentum there around, yes, engaging with the open source community.
Yes.
Another time, another different way. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Right. So, you know, we're EMC, we're a storage company. The way we really got involved in this is that you see these new compute infrastructures coming out, right? OpenStack being the first one. Now we've seen the advent of Docker, the container model, Mesos and Kubernetes and other things like that, orchestrating. But even before that, Hadoop, you know, big data. The thing that's common to all of these compute infrastructures is they need some kind of storage. And there hasn't been a really good storage solution, so things have kind of grown organically. And because they've grown organically, they've had some shortcomings and some, you know, there's been a journey. So what we said is, why don't we solve a customer problem, which is to make this stuff more turnkey? Number one, by taking the best of breed storage that we believe we have from EMC, things like Scale.io and ECS that are software defined, and then really packaging that together with the compute infrastructure in a really turnkey way, right? So sort of the unofficial way we talk about it within our hallways in the engineering team is, can I do the iPhone for platform 3, right? Make these infrastructures real. And that's really what VXRack Neutrino is. It's a turnkey system. It's all in the box. You plug it in, you turn it on, and you've got soup to nuts open source based infrastructure ready to consume. The first one we've done is OpenStack. That's what the product has today. But that's just the beginning. You will see more of these open source infrastructures in Neutrino.
Now, when EMC talks about Neutrino and what you're doing with cloud and OpenStack, you make a pretty important distinction between types of clouds and, yes. and not just public, private, hybrid. I mean, we're talking about two fundamental different architectures.
Yes.
When you look at what you guys call enterprise hybrid cloud versus native hybrid cloud.
Yes.
Just take a minute and walk us through the core differences there in terms of how customers and users of the cloud services should be thinking about these
sure.
concepts.
Sure. And I think what it really gets down to, Brian, is there's two very different architectures. There's one architecture that has been used in enterprise environments for quite some time, and it's server virtualization that really drove that architecture, which is have storage arrays and devices for reliable storage, and then have these farms of virtual machines where you run your applications, right? And that's sort of the standard model that has become popular in the enterprise over the years. Enterprise hybrid cloud is about taking that model and packaging it as a complete solution with all the different pieces, the storage, the networking, the server virtualization, et cetera, to provide a complete package, okay? The native hybrid cloud comes from a very different architectural design point that was made popular by the advent of web scale companies, which said that I need to run an application at such massive scale that I need a completely different model where I have commodity hardware, servers, drives, switches are failing all the time. I've bought the cheapest parts I could buy, and then I've put intelligence into the software to be resilient. That's a whole new architecture. So when we say native hybrid cloud, we're talking about doing a similar solution turnkey model for that architecture, which is based on commodity components and software intelligence. And that's what Neutrino is aimed towards.
And that's what you're really going after is taking some of that complexity away
yes.
from these new methodologies and new architectures.
Yeah, and they're very popular. And there's a reason why customers and developers are gravitating to them. It was really the public cloud opens people's eyes to that. I myself was one of the early people who designed and built public cloud. So I know the value of that. But really, it's one thing, you know, if you have 1,000 PhDs in your building who can make that thing real, how do you bring it in a fashion that a lot of people can consume it, right?
So a lot of the technologies that you guys are talking about this week are underpinned or at least involve ECS. And,
yes.
And I know, you know, we've talked about ECS for a long time. There was an update back in January,
yes.
and it continues to iterate. So ECS isn't exactly new, but there are some new ways
yes.
to leverage.
Yes.
VirtuStream had an announcement earlier
yes.
today about that. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that opportunity?
Yeah, so really very excited about ECS. You know, it's a funny thing because we said, you can argue that it's been out there for 2 years. We did the release 2 years ago. But in reality, the first year was more of a sort of extended beta, if you will. And it's really in the last 9 to 10 months that we've been heavily focused on customers, and we've had amazing traction with this product. Number one, we've announced today, we talked about VirtuStream Storage Cloud, which is massive scale cloud. It's built on ECS, so it's a way of consuming ECS. So really, Brian, I would say the thing to think about with ECS is we've taken that technology of cloud storage, and we've made it available now in every possible way to the customer. We've said you can have this as software, so you can deploy it on your own standardized hardware that we certify. We can give you an appliance that you can rack and stack. You can work with a service provider or a hoster, like an Atos, where they deploy it for you, either as a managed, dedicated thing or as a shared system. And hey, we've built our own massive scale, multi-exabyte cloud with this thing as well, that you can now have access to, so you can consume it in every possible way.
So this is one of the things that routinely comes up with the way you guys are driving the software-defined messaging forward from large scale all the way down to,
yes.
to VxRail for small organizations
yes.
or remote offices. What do you have to do with customers, or what are you doing to help make those choices understandable, the clear messaging around where they fit and where they don't? Because there's so much flexibility, I wonder if sometimes that customers need reference architectures, or, hey, that sort of looks and feels like what I'm doing, that makes a lot of sense to me. What are you doing there?
Yeah, that has been an issue. And that is actually the reason why we did Enterprise Hybrid Cloud and Native Hybrid Cloud. Because one, you know, it's a solution of a few different parts that we are already working on. But it is really, Brian, for the purpose of, here's the architecture, here's how you set it up, and we've got the pieces, and we can set the whole thing up for you, precisely to navigate through that. Because as you said, there's a million ways of putting these things together.
So as we look forward to the show floor opening and some of the exhibits out there, what do you guys have going on, and what are the conversations you're expecting to have with customers this week?
So I think a big one is we've got this thing called the Petting Zoo, where we have hardware. We've got some neutrino gear there for people to go and hug and see exactly what it feels like. And from that, we would love to have a conversation with the customer about, you know, not just the way we've integrated the software so that things like OpenStack are turnkey, but the variety of different SKUs we're looking at for application profiles. You know, some need more performance, some need more density. We'd love to have that conversation. I think we've got some great hands-on labs for ECS, where we're really highlighting how this is much more than an object storage platform. How do you use the metadata search? How do you use the native file NFS capability? How do you use this for Internet of Things, right? If you think about Internet of Things, it's a very different problem, because you have a lot of very small pieces of data coming in at you, and you need to be able to ingest that. It takes a certain kind of algorithmics to be able to support that we have in ECS. So we'd love to have that conversation with the customer. And I think more generally, you know, we've come out with DSSD, the D5. We're super excited about that, Brian. I think there's a beautiful marriage here, which is, if you take something like ECS to be your high-scale system that is dirt cheap, that you can throw everything into, then you can put pools of DSSD, which is super fast and just a little bit more expensive than ECS, over that, right? And the ECS sort of amortizes out the cost, you know, of the more expensive gear front, and you can build your two-tier.
You're average out the terabyte cost.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. Very good. You've got some DSSDs there as well. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sitting with us. I know you've got a busy agenda, and really appreciate it, and appreciate the visibility into all of these software-based solutions.
Thank you for taking the time, and it's a great opportunity to tell the story.
So very good. Thank you.